Everybody, this morning we're going to be over in Gospel of Mark this morning. Hope everybody's week's been good. Woke up this morning and then like I said, man, I didn't wasn't expecting it to rain this morning. I wasn't expecting that at all, but I see we got some rain. Also, Nora informed me that Super Bowl starts at what time, Nora? You looked it up?
5:30.
So 4:30. Get that between 4:30 and 5 to get things set up. 4:30 and 5. But anyway, raining, you know, I talked to a lot of people like, man, I'm just tired of this rain, want some sunshine. But I'm telling you guys, I'm kind of, I don't know, I've been loving the rain. Right. But I know if it rains too much, it's going to keep flooding. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. But I did learn an interesting fact about, you know, they've been talking about the great flood, I think of 73, when it flooded everything down here, you know, and so, but what I did learn, the reason why it flooded the city, because as the Pearl River was going over, Rankin County built up a little portable dam to block it so it wouldn't flood out Pearl, and it all went to Jackson. So I didn't know that in history. So that's a little history. That's why Jackson got flooded, because the Rankin County said, oh no, we're not getting flooded. So they took precautions. Jackson didn't, so it just came all that way. So that's why Jackson got flooded back then, so. Interesting fact, love history, look at a lot of things and everything. But, you know, it's been a great week so far. You know, learned a lot of things this past week. Been in the doctors with Cherise. We spent one day there all day. You know, when there's a day always out of the week when Cherise and I would go. Usually her mom would come in the room and take her some time. My mom loves to get time in with Cherise and spend time. And that's her way of feeling close. And usually when there's a day that I go with her, it's an all-day trip. It's just like we were there from 9 to 2:30. It's whatever. He's tired of the doctor. But had a great visit. Learned some things, some very interesting things. And you know, when her neurologist was good, I think she's got a good team of doctors now. And he was pointing out that this particular part of her brain, he says, is dead. And I thought about when he said that, I'm always thinking, and I think like some other people would be like, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. They'd be all like whatever. But I'm like, hey, man. Now I know how to target my prayer.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, because when you pray for healing, or you pray for restoration, you just pray for healing, overall restoration.
Yeah.
But when somebody can give you a pinpoint of like, this is where, this is your issue, it's like, now I know what to deal with. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a difference than knowing like, I got a cold, or I got pneumonia. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or I have the flu. Or like, hey, doc, my tooth is aching. I went to the dentist, and I'm like, man, I think I want to get a pool. And, you know, it's amazing, the x-rays they do. And they take a picture, and it's like, you see this right here? This is your problem. You know, he said, so you may be feeling pain down here. He said, there's nothing wrong with your teeth at the bottom. It's just bad boy up here, and it's transferring pain everywhere. So when you know where things are at, you're like, now I know how to target my prayer and say, God, we know where it's at. And I always found myself praying, saying, Lord, you created us. Nobody knows us better than you. I mean, we're learning. We're trying to figure out how we work and everything, but nobody knows us better than you because you're the creator. You know, so I thought it was very interesting this week. There's a lot of things I've learned through the week, and it just made me reflect and think about, you know, how much do I give versus how much do I desire to give? Because we desire to give a lot of things.
Yep.
We desire to give in a lot of ways. But how much do we really give? You know, the world consumes us. Work and everything. I can tell you about work itself. I mean, my job, I mean, it ran me. And I would never forget my doctor, Dr. Samuel. She always used to say, years and years and years, Mr. Doctor, you need to take a month off. I'm like, no job ain't going to let you do that. Because this is the world we in, you know. You can tell her, say, you need to take a month off. Well, you know, your body will force you when you start going through sickness. And anybody say, well, okay, you won't do it. I'm going to sit you down. Or I like to think God said, let me just create a little confusion up in his body, you know. And God said, sit him down. And it's amazing. I was sharing with Kristen. I said, man, I'm sitting home relaxing a lot. You know, I'm in town working. I relax a lot. And some days I sit there and I don't take my medicine. And my blood pressure just drops normally. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just amazing. And I started thinking, maybe my doctor knew what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just being prideful and not listening. But it's about how much did I really want to comply and take out versus how much, you know, I needed to, you know. I think about that. You know, we all deal with the things like that, about how much do we really just want to give versus how much do we desire, you know. I think about life. Life demands so much. How much do we want to give in life? I think about daily, just the daily grind we go through. You know, I think about the activities that we are involved with or activities that we want to be involved with. How much do we really participate in those? You know, I think about work, as I spoke about, I think about entertainment. We love entertainment. Entertainment makes us feel good. makes us feel happy. Some entertainment pumps us up, and we feel like we can go out and go do that. That's why they put on the TV. Do not try and do this. These are professional people doing this. But some of us don't get that part. We still want to go try and do it and end up hurting ourselves.
Yep.
But it's about how much do you want to give to any one particular thing, you know? Charisse, I find myself that, man, my desire is, and my time, all my time is to give as much time to her as I can, possibly. And I try to make sure I'm home. I try to come home for lunch now that I'm in town. What do we need to do? Where we need to go? I sit down beside her, just making sure I'm there. Because it's not so much as about getting every doctor appointment, but it's about just being there, that connection time, building that relationship, letting her know that I love her, I'm here. What do? We talk, we laugh, that sense of humor, understanding, adjusting my way of communication to adapt to hers. And that's building her soul up and her faith up, you know. But that's a desire. I want to see her continue to heal and get better. And I want to continue to be a witness to what God is doing with her. So I can talk about it and say, let me tell you about a story. You know, you always hear about the stories of them great, phenomenal stories. Like, man, I knew so-and-so when she was like this and this happened. I want to be a part of that story. You are part of that story. You'll be able to tell the story someday. Oh, no, I know God can do great things because I witnessed it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just desire to spend so much time with her to help her get well and everything. You know, I desire to see our church phenomenally grow. I desire to give so much to the church.
That's right.
Talk to a lot of brothers. I say, well, brother, you know what? Hey, I'm back in the saddle. I never really got out. Just slow down a little bit, but I'm still in the saddle. And there's work still to be done. The mission still goes on. Life don't stop because you hit a few bumps in the road. You hit some turbulent times. The mission still goes on. You know how I know that? Because God said, guess what? It's going to be a tomorrow. It's going to be the next night. I said, brother, we got to go forward. And of course, with that going on, the Lord puts on my heart, Sydney, got visions and dreams. And yes, I want to see things happen here. I still want to see God do some great and amazing things here. I want to see resources come into the church that can help. I dream about having other brothers besides Richard and besides Chris and besides Trevor that's doing their part, you know, using them to do parts in the service. I look forward to God showing me like, hey, he can do this, but he's much stronger at this. I know he's uncomfortable with doing that, but he can do it. You know what I'm saying? I look forward to the day when, guess what? Some churches now, our sister churches, they got to the point now where they're a lot bigger, but they got to the point now that some Wednesdays or Tuesday, the women have their own services, and then the brothers have their own services on a Thursday. I look forward to it. I was like, man, that's inspiring. Because, you know, the sisters sometimes, they want to hear other sisters speak. And you know what? And there are some powerful women in our movement who can inspire a lot of people. I look forward to it. Like, man, I'm going to adopt that as we continue to grow. I think that's great. We got to build the women and everybody up. Look forward to that and everything. You know, I look forward to, you know, just getting involved with the community and everything. I look forward, man, to just being in the community. Our community needs people like us so much. And you want to get in and do so much and help them. You want to serve. You want to figure out how to connect them to just different service-connected things in our community that can help them. Maybe they need food. Maybe they need help with lights. Maybe they need help with water. Maybe they simply just need help with, guess what, training to not only get a job, but keep a job.
Amen.
You know, maybe just learning to be disciplined. Not being mad at everybody because you feel like everybody's doing you wrong. And even if they are doing you wrong, we want to give to them and say, hey, you got to push forward and push through. Life goes on. You know, I think about, man, I want to give so much to my kids too. You know, I have to think about my kids. Love them to death, my grandkids. But I love my kids. They have been amazing. Candace has been amazing. I was on the phone last night with Jack Frazier, and he was talking about how he follows my kids on Facebook, and he follows Candace, and he always sees a story that Candace shares about her mom and how much she loved her and how much she took care of her mom, how much she missed her mom. And Jack said, just seeing the things your daughter put, he said, it just moves me, makes me think about her. And I thought, wow, that's my daughter. That's all right, God. I like her. She's awesome. But just to give more to my kids, to continue to build their souls up, to build their faith up. I share good news with them about a lot of things. Just recently, I was sharing with Jack. I said, brother, let me tell you about some good news. I said, you know, God is always good. He always is. In the month of January alone, the good news I've been able to hear, Chris's parents are moving in. That's great. His dad is like, they're excited. They're pumped. I'm like, man, this is going to be great. I said, Jack, you know, we got a young brother named Cortland who has put Jackson on his map as a place to move to. I said, that is exciting. I'm pumped. He said, but let me tell you about something else, Jack. I said, so I've been renting here for a long time. I've been with these realtors, and they've been great. We have a great relationship. So they call me and they say, look, the owner called. The owner lives in California. It's expensive to live in California. The owner calls and the owner says she needs to go up on the rent because she lost her job in California. Yeah. And I'm thinking like, it's expensive in California. You know, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but it's expensive. But they were able to negotiate with the owner and they talked to the owner and said, well, you know, Mr. Doctor's been going through a lot, but you know, they negotiated the owner and said, well, maybe just an extra $25. Let's just see what happens there. So they negotiated with her. They call and tell me that. And I said, well, man, it's just swing as we can do. And then he said, well, Mr. Dockery, this is what we're offering to you as the realtors. Because we don't want to lose you. We'll pay that increase on your rent for you so you don't have to worry about it.
Wow.
I said, who pays your rent like that? I mean, what landlord or realtor pays your rent like that? I said, boy, that ain't nothing but God.
Yes. Yep.
They said, we will pay the increase so you don't have to worry about it.
That's awesome.
I said, wow. I said, well, you know, let's see what happens. If it comes to that, we'll do it. She said, Mr. Dark, you let us know. And if we need to, we'll cover it.
Amen.
God is working. Mm-hmm. God is always working. Witness. I've been sharing that story everywhere. Everybody's like, man, I don't know what land. I've never heard of that. I said, I never did either until just a few days ago. That's when I heard about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think about how much we're willing to give to God because God has always given us when we least expect it. God has always given us. I want to read a story to you as we're talking about how much, oh man, do I desire to give or how much do I give? Read a story by a guy named Joe Peely, or maybe it's Joe Pedley. I've been trying to go back and forth with that name, but we'll just say Mr. Peely. Joe Peely, he lived the life of a swinging millionaire until an alcohol-fueled car accident in 2002 left him comatose and on the verge of death. Wow. Miraculously, he survived and soon experienced a profound change of heart. The UK millionaire who indulged in alcohol, womanizing, and other vices in life, all of a sudden had a change of heart. You know, what would you do if you had the freedom of Mr. Joe Peely? You had his money, his status, his life. What would you do? And you can dream about that now because, hey, the Powerball is going to be here on January 30th. I can tell you, they have been like crazy. They show this woman running. You want to change this year? Like she's exercising. She's running and everything. And then this is your time. She runs to a gas station. She runs in to buy a Powerball ticket. I'm like, I thought we were talking about an exercise thing going on. But that's what they realized. I said, man, they are pumping that thing up. But what would you do if you had his money? If you was a millionaire? I don't know if Mr. Peely, if he came into it as an inheritance, or he won it, or he earned it, I'm not sure. But he was a millionaire, and he says his character was womanizing, says his character was living life as he wanted to. There was some corruption in there. But he did what he felt like he wanted to do, and he could do it because he had all this money. Would your life be any different if you had all this money? We're all dreamers. I don't care if somebody dreams harder than you. You all have things that you want to do.
Yep.
You all dream of things that you would like to do. I don't know, but do you ever dream like if I was a millionaire, how much time I really would invest in the community in the city? Yeah. You ever think about that? How much of my time would I really give?
Yep.
It's easy to give money to charity. Then you can do that. Because sometimes it's easy like, hey, I'm giving to this charity and let this charity manage. And you can do that. Mm-hmm. But man, yeah, you know, I was just like, what would I do if I was a millionaire? Mm-hmm. Would I sit at home and do nothing? Watch my money. Just go where I want to go. Live my life. Not worry about nobody else. Not worry about the fate of the world, the fate of this town, the fate of the next people. But I ride through towns like Jackson, towns like Atlanta, Dallas. They all have their what we call a little slum areas. They all have it. They just don't want you to know. But if you ever visit one of those cities, you ride through and there's one in every city. Would you just ride through like, not my problem. They need to fix it. I don't know why they're not fixing it. What would you do? Would you just live for self? Because that's what Joe Peely was doing. Joe Peely at the time when he had a lot of money and he had no respect for anything else, he lived for self. But you know, along the way it says later on, he found God and was inspired by the charity work of his friend in Uganda. We always have that friend who always just seems to be doing something for somewhere on a charity run, out there going on, getting something done for somebody else. We always have that friend. I can see us being like that. If I had a lot of money, my friend would do a charity work. Yeah, you do charity work, you go. You want, look, I donate you some money, but I'm not going to live that life. You go do charity work in Uganda. I ain't lost nothing in Uganda. Sometimes we can feel that way because the country we live in, we feel like it's great. It's great. It's comfortable. Why would I want to live an uncomfortable life? But, you know, it says he found God later on and was inspired. So he found God, and God used his friend to inspire him about the work that God was doing through his friend over in Uganda. Says he decided to emulate his friend. Wow, emulate, imitate. Wow. It says, literally gave it all away in 2010 as he sold his 1.5 million farmhouse and businesses. Healy then used the proceeds to move to a mud hut in Uganda and start a charity for local orphans. The charity wasn't only for the local children either. British children with a troubled past were also sent there to help the locals and ultimately help themselves. For Peely, it was a traumatic release from his once decadent lifestyle. He remarked that, "I've never been more sure about anything in my life," when asked if he really wanted to go through with it. People would question you, wouldn't they? If you sold your big, all your business, your home for 1.5 million, like, what are you doing? You gonna move to a mud hut. Think about it. You live in a big old beautiful home. Things are nice. They're comfortable. Everything's given to you, fed at your foot. You're going to move to a mud hut in Uganda. Now, in the mud hut, I'm thinking there ain't no AC. There just can't be no AC in the mud hut. Maybe there is. I don't know signs like that. But you're just going to move and do that. You know, we over here thinking like, who does that? What are you doing? Man, just send some money and be done. God has a way of changing things. God has a way of changing the things that you want and the things that you desire. God has a way of changing things. Since he became focused and consumed about helping people in other countries, he sold everything and he moved. He directed his time in a different direction. Before, the majority of his time was on self. But after his encounter with God, his time became about others. For him, his millions were toxic to him. Having nothing but himself to give was health to his soul. Money can be toxic to us.
Yep.
It can be toxic. It can make us like, I don't want to give it all. I want to be stingy. I don't want to give none of my time where it involves my money. It can be toxic. Yep. It can be extremely toxic. What he did not only helped the people in Uganda, but he requested that all the troubled kids from his country come over there. Let's let you see how good you really have it. And you come over there and stand in a mud hut with me where it's hot and serve other kids and appreciate that. That reminds me of David Collier, for those of you who remember him. Mm-hmm. David Collier lived in North River. His family has money, real good. They sent him here to Jackson, went back, was a changed man, and they all tell me the story. Tab brother was on the verge of fall away, young campus student. They said it changed his life when he came here. He realized just how good he had it. How much of your time are you willing to give? How much of your effort are you willing to put in? Scripture says, make every effort. On top of that, and I say, not every excuse, because we're good about that. Let me read something to you. It says, most people knock on the door of their dreams, then run away before anyone has a chance to open the door. But if you keep knocking persistently and endlessly, eventually the door will open. Speaks about never giving up. 95% of the world will never be successful. Even though they could be if they wanted to. Most of the people don't fail to succeed. In fact, they rarely even reach that stage. They fail before they even get there because they don't even make an effort. They knock on the door to their dreams once and run away before anyone even has a chance to open it. Man, how much of an effort will you make? The Gospel of Mark chapter 12, how much of an effort will you make? So sin, you're talking about how much of my time I will give, how much of an effort I will make, point out these things. One of the things I want to start out by saying, I've said this before, and I love Paul, what says in Philippians, he says, I'm saying these things to you again, because we're people that need to hear it over and over again, because we easily forget stuff, and it needs to be repeated to us. I want you to grab hold of this picture, because it's true. Jesus right now is sitting somewhere watching you and I every day. He's just watching, seeing what you're doing, watching what you're doing, watching how you're carrying on with the understanding of life as you know it. He knows that you know your Bible to a certain extent, and he knows that you are capable of knowing your Bible more. He knows that if you want to know the word more, you can do it if you want to. He knows that. But he sits there and he's watching with all his angels, and him and God are just looking and they're seeing. And you say, man, does God really watch like that? And why is God watching? He's watching your actions. He's watching to see what you do. And as he's watching you, he's looking to see what you do versus what the next man did. That's what he's looking. Because he's looking for those people who belong to him, and he's looking how they conduct themselves. And over in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, he gives us a little insight because he's always teaching. And over 12, this is going to talk about Jesus. It's going to talk about some rich people. It's going to talk about the disciples. And there's always a learning moment here.
Yep.
And in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, that's where we're going to be at. 12, verse 41. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. Okay, so he's watching people give their offering, do their tithes. You never think, you know, we like, you know, I'm used to an old school before I knew who the Lord was. I just knew that we go to a building, we sit down, it's supposed to be church. So Jesus watches as they're putting their money. Now, but look how Jesus watched. He says, he's watching the offering where they put and watch the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many, not a few, but many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. At this point in time, he's calling his disciples over. Hey, come here. Come here. It's time for you to learn something. I want you to understand. He says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They all gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. How much are you willing to give? Hey, this goes with time and effort. Look at what she gave. Jesus is watching. Think about it. He watches when you give. Mm-hmm. Not only financially, he watches when you give. Mm-hmm. He watches when you what you do with your time. Mm-hmm. What time? See, she gave two copper coins. They're only a fraction. Not two-thirds of a fraction. One-third. They're only a fraction of a penny. I don't know. Can we buy anything for a penny these days? Nope. And she gave what she gave was only a fraction of a penny. You grab hold of that, but Jesus is pointing out. We can't buy nothing for a penny these days. All right, last time I remember a penny was where you pick up a penny for good luck if you found one. That was it. She gave a fraction of a penny. And he looked at all those rich people putting in lump sums of money, large amounts. He says, they're putting in large amounts of money. And of course, like the disciples, I'd probably be like them. Oh man, they got it. You know, hey, look, they're giving a large amount, so they gotta be good. And Jesus said, no, she gave more than they gave. They gave out of their wealth. I mean, they're still gonna go home comfortable. They're still gonna go home and be okay. He said, she gave it her poverty. What she gave don't even amount to a penny. You see, we desire to give at certain times, certain things. Mm-hmm. She gave all that she had. Mm-hmm. Is that your heart? Is that your mindset? that with whatever you get involved with, are you giving all that you have to give? Jesus is watching, like he's watching her, and he watched those rich people give. He's watching you and I every day. He's watching to see what we do with the life that we have, with the time that we have. He's just watching. He's wanting to see, are you and I people who, well, I wanted to give, but here's my excuse, number one. Well, I wanted to do that, here's my excuse, number two. Well, I was going to be there, here's my excuse, number three. And so forth, and so forth. I've always heard good intentions are exactly just that, good intentions. I've also heard good intentions are just empty promises.
Yeah.
Because if I need you, I need you. I don't need your good intentions. That's it. My mama will always put me in and tell us something. My mama will look you in the face and say, did I ask you for that lie? Mm-hmm. I was sharing it with somebody the other day. I said, my mama said that. I said, it just rings with me. I said, did I ask you for that lie? If you just can't, you just can't. Don't lie to me and say you're going to, and then you don't do it. It's like, yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. But Jesus is watching you and I. Just as he watches the person that's in poverty, wherever they may be in this community, somebody could be next to you and be poor as dirt, as we call it, and we would never know. But he watches his or her behavior versus your behavior if you both are participating in the same thing. Man, Sydney really didn't give that much. This person ain't got nothing, and they're just giving everything, all that they have, to make this happen. How much of your time do you desire to give for God? How much of your time are you willing to give for God? How much of your effort do you desire to give? We know that we're selfish people by nature. And that selfishness will cause us to make up all kinds of excuses. Why I can't, why I couldn't.
Yep.
I'm here to tell you, my week is a busy, busy, busy week. It just is. It's busy. You know, I run the job, I run and make sure my baby's taken care of, grocery store, doing bills. I was up early Saturday morning. Just, you know, I hate this. When they say, oh, your old card is no good, or we think a breach is happening, you got to update your card. And so I'm stubborn. I like, well, I'm going to keep using my card because it don't expire for another 2 years. I don't know why you're trying to give me a new card. They sent me a new card. Never activated. Was at the store trying to use my card, and guess what?
Yes.
Declined.
Yes.
Yep.
Why? It says it don't expire for another 2 years. Declined. I said, you know what? So I use my other card. I go home. I call them. I'm upset. But, well, sir, did you not get the new card? We sent down letters. I can't say nothing but yes. But that ain't the point. I want to use my card. Well, sir, here, let me get you. Let me go ahead and activate your card. Yes, ma'am. All right, you're good to go. But it's just so easy to just comply. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't want to. I just wanted to. This is just difficult. So after that moment, I said, I had to get up early Saturday morning. I said, let me have this on my heart to get this done, to make this happen. Got up, started going through all the accounts. Transfer a card number, a card number, a card number, a card number. When I found one to take a checking number, I said, you taking a checking, because I know they never cancel a checking number. So you just take my route and check number. We're done. Don't call me no more about this. But it's about how much you really want to see something done. It's how much you really want to see it happen. It's about how much desire you have to say, you know what? I want to make every effort to do the right thing. How much desire do you have to want to live for God, to want to do right by God? I think finally here, when I looked at it, I said, man, how much desire does God have for me? How much does God love me? Well, he's still around, so he does grace. Still around. And I go back to the beginning. He created man. He created woman. He created all the things on the earth. He makes it possible for you to do what you want to do. Think about it. He makes it possible for you to get up in the morning, walk mm-hmm. around, eat whatever you want to eat. The doctor said, cut the bacon out. What you doing? You eating bacon. God said, I'm still let bacon flow through. He just does it. God said, cut back on the salt. What you do? Well, a little bit of salt ain't going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, God, God, you're like, hey, I'm going to make it happen.
Right.
You know? God said, look, to protect you and to make sure that you are living in a safe environment, I'm going to put up speed limit signs and say not go over speed limit. What'd you do? I'm going to go over and the lawman said, well, we'll give you 5 miles anyway. Both of you are like, okay, what's good to sign? You know, you think about the things that God has been doing, the trails that he has been blazing on your behalf. You think about how God has been slowly always bending to you so that you can make it to heaven. He's been bending since the beginning of time toward man so that you can make it to heaven. Now, he hasn't bent so much to where you can continue to do wrong, but he bends enough to say, look, I'm trying to make this as easy as possible for you to change and to have a desire to give more time and more effort to our relationship so that you can be the example that the world needs. But how much do you really love God? How much time are you willing to give to that relationship with God or the desire? How much are you willing to invest? People come and go. People do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Talk to a lot of ladies. A lot of people that struggle everywhere. I was sharing with one brother. I said, man, I just hear about small churches in South America. I was on a meeting. I'm like, God, they're struggling. You know, they're trying to figure it out. You know, they can't support staff like they want to. And they're having to work. And talk to another brother that has to get a full-time job and everything work. And, you know, at the same time, I'm like, you can do it because I'm living it. I said, your congregation is putting on it. They probably want you to hey to be full-time like this, but you can do it. That's all I can do. I'm like, you can do it. I mean, the Bible clearly puts that. It's your right. You are entitled, if you're serving the Lord, to get paid. But right now, you can do it. But I hear just the things about our movement and the changes that God is making. I'm like, hey, it's a positive change. God is doing something. I can see a little clearer from this perspective because I lived the life. But how much time are you willing to give? How much time are you willing to invest? How much effort are you willing to put in to sitting down looking at your Bible, to knowing your word? I was sharing, one brother was sharing with me, and he was saying, you know, how Douglas Jacoby came in and he spoke and everything like that. And we were laughing, and he said, brother, he said, Douglas Jacoby said he's read the New Testament in 7 different languages. I'm like, wow. He said, yeah. It just made me know how much I really didn't know my Bible. I said, well, brother, I'd just be like, well, yeah, Douglas, I'm still working on English, okay? My first language. That's where I'm at. You know, let me get my first language out there. But I look at examples like that, how much he loves God enough. Like, I want to know, does it say the same thing in my language and the other language? How has it been translated? How much time are you willing to put in to build with God, to love God, to connect God, to be that channel light in the world for God? God loves you so much that he's trying to make everything possible for you to be successful. But do you want to be successful? And how much time are you willing to put in to being successful? Don't be a person who goes the rest of their life making excuses of why I can't. Making excuses. Amen. Feeling like this doesn't feed me. This doesn't entertain me. I just want the good stuff. I just want the fluff and happy stuff. Jesus love, Jesus love. Now, God wants you to have more substance. More substance. He wants like, now I want to fill you up with the things that will make you a solid believer. How much time and effort are you willing to put in? How much time and effort do you desire to put in? I look at clothes, I look at the widow, and I look at Jesus. He's sitting and he's observing and he's just watching to see what people do. That's a lot of things people don't take. But here scripture tells you, he sits and he just watches. He observes and he watches everything you do and he's seeing what you're doing. And he's just seeing how much are you really giving? Although you can never give enough to repay him, but still to him, it's important to see how much are you really giving? Really? Are you giving out of your poverty? Or are you just giving out of your wealth? It's like, hey, I just feel good because I give out of my wealth. He wanted his disciples to learn this. That rather you come into a lot of something, inherit a lot of land, a lot of cars or whatever it is, a lot of friends, whatever it is. He wanted you to know the person who gives the most is not the person who has the most.
Right.
But the person who gives the most is the person who realizes that there is a greater life beyond the life that we're living now. And so whether I'm poor or rich, I'm going to give him everything I have to give. Joe Peely got that. It took a traumatic thing to happen in his life, but he got that. He sold everything and went and lived in a mud hut. I don't know. Not too many people like heat in here, do they? Can you imagine? I can see that conversation. If the Lord said, hey, need you to move to Uganda in a mud hut. Imagine if you hate the heat. But the Lord said, you're going to be okay. You're going to sweat a lot, but you're going to be okay. You're not going to die. The Lord will always call you to do some great things, guys. Finally, guys, Jesus says, hey, look here. He said, look at this woman. Understand that she has given more because she's given out of what she had to live on. Not out of her wealth, what she has to live on. Are you giving out of what you have to live on? You have time. And time is so limited. It'll be night before you know it. You have wealth. You may not have as much wealth as the next man. But God want to know, are you giving out of what you have to live on? How far are you pushing the envelope? Here's a question I'm going to close out with, guys. Finally saying, what are you willing to give? What are you willing to give in order to draw closer to God? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.